welcome to another episode of Audio Dust Jacket. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and we have a great show for you today. Today we have Marvin Brown with How to Meet and Talk to Anyone, Anywhere, Anytime, Simple Strategies for Great Conversation, something we all could use. Welcome to the show, Marvin.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Kevin.
Well, I love that you're here, and before we get in talking about your book, which I'm very interested about and could help a lot of people, I believe, give us a backstory of yourself. Tell us how you got here.
Well, actually, you know, my journey to start and finish the book and have the pleasure and honor to be on your show, believe it or not, actually started when I was in about my third year of college. And I was going for a major in business and accounting. And in my third year, I finally said to myself, it's a great profession for a lot of people, but not for me. And I didn't want to proceed. But it was a little bit too late to change my major, and I wasn't ready to drop out of college. And so I figured, okay, I'm going to use the balance of my time to figure out not just what I don't want to do, but what I really want to do. And in my senior year, I figured out that I wanted to get into sales and actually get into direct sales, and if I was capable, I'd rise up into sales management. So I immediately started to read a ton of books on how to sell. And then when I graduated, I did get a job as a salesperson for a financial services firm. They did financial planning to help people plan for their retirement, so they made sure that they had enough money to retire when they needed to or wanted to retire. But then I realized that I was selling an intangible. And all the books on sales at that time were about tangible products.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a salesman selling a tangible product, the customer can see it, could touch it, could feel it. And that's not what happens with an intangible. So I had, you know, a lot of knowledge that I couldn't use. But fortunately, in the early days, I came across an article on body language and nonverbal communication. And I say that because in those days, it hadn't yet hit the public world. This was all done in universities around the country in their psychology departments, and they were experimenting. And it was really for people who were social scientists, but not ready for the public. But I happened to come across the article, and they did mention a few books written by the original geniuses who discovered this theory, and I got them. And I was fascinated with them and then continued. And then I realized that all of the techniques I was learning in body language, subliminal and persuasion and nonverbal communication, mm-hmm. was applicable to what I was doing, selling an intangible. And it helped me enormously. And then because of that, because my sales did rise, I was able to rise up into management. And I actually became the national sales manager of the second largest mutual fund in America at that time.
Wow.
I had 18 divisional regional vice presidents report to me, salespeople. I taught them the techniques. I went around the country at various firms teaching it. And that's where I really learned about these interpersonal face-to-face communication skills. But finally, to get to the point, some years ago, I read an article, and it began that 95% of the American population, the people do not know how to go over to someone they don't know, a stranger, and begin a conversation. And when I read the first line, I almost threw the article away because I thought, wait, this is America. We're an open society. And they're saying that 95% of the people don't know how to begin conversation with strangers. And, of course, then when I thought about it, I realized it was true. But the important point is the statistics came from three of the biggest and most important prestigious polling companies in the country, like Gallup and, Pew and Harris Research. And each one did a separate survey, and they both, all of them came up with the same conclusion, because that's what the American people were telling them, that they don't know how to begin conversations with people they don't know. And I'm talking about friendly places, weddings, engagement parties, networking events, mm-hmm. even in neighborhoods. And then I finally realized after a little while that everything that I knew about the intangible sales world could have been converted to this issue. And I thought, okay, I got to work on it, but I may be able to write a book that could actually help 95% of the people in America. And that's how it started, and that's how it ended.
Wow. Yeah, you'd be amazed how many people that would rather go work 8 hours a day doing something, not talking to anyone, then go up to one person and just have a conversation because they're absolutely terrified. I know people that almost have panic attacks if they have to go into a situation and talk to people they don't know. So it really is a big problem.
Absolutely. You said it perfectly. It mirrors America.
I know, and it is amazing to me. And this is a skill that will benefit anyone in any aspect of their life. It'll benefit them in business. Their social life will improve. Connections are the bread and butter of society, especially in America.
Oh yeah, and by the way, even in their careers and starting their careers, these interpersonal skills are important. I learned this. Some years ago, I was retained as a consultant. One of the biggest law firms in the United States, which means one of the biggest in the world. And they retained me to screen candidates, interns, you know, internships for recent college graduates. And they had a box number. I did it for their litigation department. They had four other people they retained for different, you know, for real estate law, marital law, estate planning law. I got litigation. And there was a specific box number where all those resumes were sent. And, I got several hundred. But my orders were that I could only pick the candidates from the top five law schools of America.
Wow.
And each candidate that I sent along had to graduate in the top 10% of their class. And so, and you think about it for a minute, the others I had to ditch. And then I called the remaining candidates to make sure they were interested and they were ready to move to New York and pre-screened them. But and then, of course, the resumes that I picked were sent to Human Resources. But, Kevin, if you think about it, you realize that the person who got the job or the two or three interns that got the jobs, it had nothing to do with how bright they were or how intelligent they were, because everybody was a genius.
Yeah.
They graduated from the top law schools in America, the top 10% of their class. It was actually their interviewing skills, their personal skills, how well the person who interviewed them liked them.
Yep.
So even just to get a job, you know, you can spend 4 years in college, and if you don't interview well, you got a problem.
Definitely, and nowadays, it's with college degrees are so abundant, people having their bachelor's degree doesn't guarantee you a job anymore. It's more about who you know, and if you can get in front of somebody, and then your social skills will get you the job nowadays. It's crazy how things are pivoting. So this is a huge, important skill that is not taught at all, or just they brush over it in our school system.
You know, I would agree with you more on the side where they don't teach it at all, and they don't even bother to brush over it in a lot of schools.
Well, I know. I had one. It's like a requirement now in college. You have to have one leadership class, and that's it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So that's them brushing over it. It's hardly anything about it. You have to speak once in front of people, but they don't teach you any of the things that this book probably teaches you. I remember reading books about this when I was a kid, my stepmom, and you read about stuff like mirroring who you're talking to and changing tone and all that kind of stuff, but that's not taught, and I think that's one of the most important parts of business, definitely.
Oh, yeah. To be able to not just listen, but to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Very crucially important.
So let's get into the book a little bit. You explained why you wrote it. There's definitely a need for it. But how does it help people? How is the book situated to help people? Is it bite-sized? Is it an easy read?
I'm sorry. Would you say that again, please?
Is it a bite-sized? Is it an easy read for the audience?
Yeah. Please forgive me because I've read a couple of books.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is a skill, and a skill you have to really write about differently than a lot of books, because it's like someone saying to a friend, oh, gee, I'm going to this party, and I don't know anybody, and what should I do? And the friend says, oh, be friendly.
That's helpful.
Yeah. And so when you're learning a skill, as you alluded to it earlier, it's completely different than learning facts and figures and learning about history or even about medicine. You really memorize it. Here, it has to be taught differently. And I wrote it, so hopefully, I feel, and that's what the feedback is that I'm getting from a lot of people, is that they're able to relate to it and then put it to good use and be able to begin conversations with people and then even continue them. Because, Kevin, I can't tell you how many people that I met who knew I was writing the book, and then they would tell me, oh, you know, I don't like to meet people at parties because then you have to get into small talk, and I don't like small talk, and besides, I don't even know how to do it.
Well, what tips do you give in this book to help people out with that, conversation starters?
That's a great question. And I have 10 magic words that I've created in the book. And for anybody who's driving a car listening to the show, I'm going to break it down to 2 words. So please, nobody get into an accident trying to write down the 10 magic words. But essentially, and I say they're magic words, Kevin, because they work every time. That's how magical they are. And you know, in life we grow up, and we always seem to learn that there's an exception to every rule, right?
Yeah.
The exception to my rule is there are no exceptions.
I love that.
It works every time.
You can't beat that.
And again, I'll give you the 10 words and then break it down to 2. But it's use the environment around you and find an environmental prop. And with that, you bond with the person next to you because you're in a similar situation and you have an immediate bonding effect. And the 2 simple words, which are hidden from society, but these I didn't make up, is and again, it's amazing how few people know these 2 words. It's referred to as a situational opener.
Mm-hmm.
You usually, if you're standing even in a club or any place, and it's corny, see, but it gets you started. This is one of the corniest lines in America. Boy, it sure is crowded in here today. But you don't frighten the person next to you. They turn and look to you, and then you could go on. But the music's great tonight, or it's worthwhile being crowded, or anything that you have to, or I've always wanted to come and see this lecture, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can use anything in the environment around you, you can use it as an opener.
I absolutely love this. What's next after that? I want to know more. I know in the radio world, I was taught to, when talking to someone, just ask them questions about themselves because that's the easiest thing. Or if you're on a date, ask the girl about herself, and you'll never go wrong. Do you go into anything like that?
Yeah. See, in the world, in the conversational world, we all know that there are closed-ended questions and open-ended questions.
Yes.
And, even in a lot of articles and books, they say don't ask closed-end questions, and they're right because they're conversational. It leads to a conversational dead end. Did you like the movie? Yes. You know, and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Or, how you doing today? Okay, and then that's over. But, you know, only sometimes therapists and great announcers can learn how to answer open-ended questions. The point is that I offer anybody who's listening is don't be afraid to ask a closed-ended question because it's easier that way to start from everybody.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But then follow up with the open-ended question because you have a second to think. And you might say to the person, gee, did you enjoy the movie? Yeah. Oh, like what were your favorite parts? Or anything like that. Any question could be closed-ended, but then pick up on what they said and add the open-ended part of it, and the conversation will flow. How does that sound, Kevin?
That sounds absolutely great, and it's really great advice, and it's simple, too. It's easy to follow steps, and it's not rocket science. You're giving people a roadmap where they can have conversations with people, keep them going, and actually get to know people. And it's going to become easier over time. Practice makes perfect, right?
Practice makes perfect. It's like that old corny line where a tourist asks someone in New York, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? And the guy says, practice, practice, practice.
I love it.
And all he meant is, where is it? But yep, that's the line.
Well, I love that. What's your favorite chapter in the book, or do you have any good stories in the book that you want to sort of tell? Don't give away too much of the secret sauce, but just a little intrigue.
Well, you know, it's amazing. Is I really have to tell you that it's sequential, that everything really in the book is kind of important, whether it's eye contact, or how to listen. And you know, a lot of people, when they do go to parties or you know, the club, single people to meet other single people, or networking events, it's amazing how many people go to networking events and never talk to strangers.
That is.
But my suggestion in the book, if I had to offer one quickly, is that a lot of people are concerned how they present themselves to the world. You know, what am I going to say?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I could tell you in life is that people like people who like them.
Yeah.
And because everybody is trying to make a great first impression.
So they're just thinking about themselves, right?
And it's obvious that they like you. You immediately like them. And so, again, that business of listening, and when people talk, and just ask them to expound and talk some more. And get into what they're doing and make the eye contact. And it's not staring 100%, but it's casual eye contact. And one of the easy ways to do it, by the way, to make people feel comfortable that you're with someone, and where you isolate everything around you and it's just the two of you talking, one of my recommendations in the book is to have a heart-to-heart conversation with the person.
Okay, something personal.
What I mean by that is, when I speak to somebody that I met someplace, and it's, you know, it could be at a fundraising event or a party or even in business, I will make sure that I will face them, and where I can, I will have my heart facing their heart. And that's what I mean by a heart-to-heart conversation.
I love it. So that's a literal heart-to-heart conversation. I love it.
And it means that you're facing them, and the eye contact is casual, and they know that you're there, and you're forming a bond with that person. And then it's easier for each of you to communicate, whereas some people will talk to you, and they'll face halfway, or they'll face their body will be facing mm-hmm. three-quarters in a different direction, and they're half in and they're half out.
Definitely.
And this way, you really get into it. And the person feels that they're making a great impression, and because of that, they like you.
Well, you touched on something earlier that you said in your book, which I think is really important, and majority of people don't know how to do it, is how to listen. And you know how I know? My favorite thing, I know someone doesn't know how to listen if they tell me I'm a good listener. If someone has to tell me that, I know that they're not a good listener. So talk to that a little bit and how important that is.
Well, you know, every once in a while you do meet a person who does like to control the conversation, and mm-hmm. they do talk more than you do. But I allow it, because people are people. And if they want to talk, it's part of the way life goes along. And I can't even begin to tell you how many people that I've met, and this is how important listening is, where they talk three-quarters of the time, and I talk, you know, a quarter of the time. And then when we were parting, and these are people I met for the first time, and they'll say to me, gee, it was nice talking with you, or it was nice meeting with you. And so listening really is not listening and mm-hmm. thinking of what you are going to say, how you're going to react. And Kevin, it's an unspoken thing in America, but so many people are so concerned with what they're going to say that they're thinking about what they're going to say rather than giving their total mm-hmm. attention to what the person is saying. And the interesting thing that it's so much easier to figure out what to say when you listen instead of what you're thinking you're going to say.
Exactly. I've noticed, and I've talked to people about this, and they'll listen for a little bit, they'll find one thing to say, and then they'll hold on to that one thing until they have a spot to say it, and then they want to keep storing stuff because they're so scared they're not going to have anything to say.
Right. A conversation is a two-way street,
mm-hmm.
and it's 50-50. Sometimes we might talk 60% of the time because you meet somebody who is kind of introverted or shy, and they just will not even come close to dominating a conversation.
Yeah.
But even there, if you notice that the person is reserved and they're quiet in that kind of a way, calm down, go with the flow, because it's like on a driveway, go with the traffic,
mm-hmm.
and when they speak, give them your complete attention. Have that heart-to-heart conversation. Make the eye contact. And by the way, if you want to encourage people to speak, then you could use the body language and the nonverbal communication. And it's the simplest English in America. When somebody's saying something important, or you feel that they think it's important and it's interesting, or they're telling you about their life or an experience that they had, nod your head up and down and say, aha, really? God, I see. Tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
And people will talk. You're waving them on. It's like, I live in New York City and you have traffic cops, but pedestrian police.
Mm-hmm.
And when the light changes, they tell the pedestrian, they put up their hands and they tell everyone to stop. And then when the light changes, and it's your turn to walk, they wave you on. And everybody walks immediately.
It's amazing.
And that's what you do in a conversation. Aha. Really? Oh, that's great. Tell me more. Yes. And use facial expressions to let them see you're listening, and the conversation will flow.
That is absolutely great advice and amazing. So thank you. So, Marvin, how do our listeners reach out to you, get this book, and get started with improving their conversation skills?
Thank you for asking. My website is under construction or reconstruction. So right now, if they were to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, it's How to Meet and Talk to Anyone, Anywhere, Anytime, and the book will pop up. And by the way, it's amazing. On Amazon, there are some reviews on there, and I wish I knew who these people were, and I don't know them, but they are amazing reviews. And the first one, a guy named Hugo Ross, I don't know who he is, but he said the book is an instant classic. That's how much he appreciated the book.
I love that. You're helping people's lives.
Oh, yeah. It can change your life. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like you said earlier, you just make social connections, and some of them may be in passing, but you never know where it's going to lead until you meet the people.
So before we close up here, are there any other books on the horizon, or is this a one-and-done kind of thing?
Well, the last chapter, since this book is about how to meet anyone, anywhere, anytime, I decided to make the last chapter on my book about flirting.
Love it.
And how single people could meet other single people. And as a matter of fact, Kevin, may I ask how much time do we have left?
We have enough time. This is an open interview. I keep enough time to do whatever we have to do. So,
all right. There are, to say the least, Kevin, and as a guy I know there has to be at least 3 million men in the United States.
Definitely.
Every day who will see an attractive woman that he's interested in. He's single
and he wants
to
talk
to meet
her.
And he looks over, and it could be anywhere, and he figures, oh, I better have a pickup line. I better be gallant and funny and charming and interesting. And, of course, they don't know what to say, and they never go over. And, you could prove this because you could see this in any town, any city in America, but mostly in New York, because we are a pedestrian city. People are walking the streets all the time. And it's impossible to walk down New York City and not see a lady walking, let's say, up the block, and a guy is walking in the opposite direction down the block, and then he passes her. and he thinks she's attractive, and within 2 feet, he will do what they refer to in body language as a body twist. He will twist the upper part of his body 45 degrees backwards while he's walking to take a last look. Mm-hmm. And you see this every day in every city in the country. But guys don't know what to say. And women, of course, and in our culture, it's really up to the man to approach the woman. And
I know.
Women will not approach men for two reasons. They want to maintain their dignity. And I hope in today's modern society, I'm allowed to say they want to protect their sexuality and not have the guy feel he's getting lucky tonight. And they won't approach a man. And yet, it is so simple for a guy in a club, anywhere, to really go over to a woman and begin to meet her. Not to have the conversation, to meet her. And see, men are attracted to women visually. That's how we come hardwired on this earth. We are born that way. Women are attracted to men emotionally, and then later attracted to him the way he looks.
Yeah.
And when a guy comes up to a woman, it is so rare that she immediately thinks, boy, this guy's got a lot of confidence. He's not macho, but he's a real man. And then she becomes interested. And a woman can approach a man in also the same way, even at a club, where, you know, single people go to meet. And it's one of the corniest pickup lines in America. But if a gal is standing next to a guy in the younger set where they go to these, you know, clubs, mm-hmm. and the music and the dancing and the drinking and it's loud, and there's a guy next to her and she's kind of interested and she just turns and says, boy, it sure is crowded tonight. Every man in America, every guy is going to stop, take a deep breath that a woman really approached him, but in a casual way. And if the chemistry's there, she started it.
Yep, that's awesome. Yeah, in Atlanta, we're doing a new kind of thing, which I think anyone doing this, it might be other than, we have a something called Grouper, and it's a three-on-three date. Three best friend guys and three best friend girls end up getting paired up, and all three go on a date together, and everyone picks who. But I think your book could really help anyone doing that here in Atlanta with that.
Oh, yeah, there are plenty of tips in there for single guys and how to, you know, be with a gal and even the ladies. I tell the ladies in my book, and it's just one tip, there are many, that I don't care how much money that you spent on that dress and how much time you spent picking out the jewelry, when you smile at a guy,
yes,
nothing is more valuable than smiling him and making him feel like a man.
I completely agree.
How does that sound?
That sounds great. Well, Marvin, thank you so much for being on today, and thank you for telling us about your book. I think it's a great book.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I enjoyed this conversation with you.
Definitely. Well, if you write anything else in the future, we'd love to have you back on, and we'll talk about that.
Oh, I never told you. That's the next book is probably going to be all about socializing between single people.
I think that is huge. We talked before the interview, I lived in New York and I have lived in Atlanta, and both places have a lot of single people, but people still find it very hard to actually go out there and meet anybody. There's so many single people in both Atlanta and New York, but people still have problems meeting people. So I think that's going to be a great book.
That's my next book, Kevin.
Well, I think it's going to be an instant classic as well.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, you have a great night.
Right, okay, bye-bye.